Plan Well, Enjoy Life is presented by G. Pollock Financial in Bend. Send us your questions now. Email us at planwell@gpollockfinancial.com or call us at 541-480-1661. Discussions on this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. G. Pollock Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. I'm Greg Pollock with G. Pollock Financial. You're listening to Plan Well, Enjoy Life, a 30-minute program designed to bring some rational thought to an increasingly irrational economic landscape. All right, let's talk about the markets last week. Last week was a pretty good week. The Dow was up 2.5% to 26,744. S&P was up 0.86% to 2,930. The NASDAQ was actually down a little bit, down 0.25%, back below 8,000. Of course, it got back up again this week. Russell 2000 was down 0.5%. Developed markets were up 2.91%, and emerging markets were up 2.28%. So very positive week on the international front. In terms of sector plays, every sector was positive except for real estate and utilities, while technology came in flat. In terms of the fixed income market, aggregate bonds were down 0.25%, corporate bonds down 0.18%, municipals down 0.34%, high yield were up very slightly, up 0.07%. Two-year treasury moved up to 2.81 from 2.78%. 10-year Treasury moved up to 3.07 from 2.99, and the 30-year Treasury moved up to 3.2 from 3.13. So another solid week for most equity sectors, not so much for fixed income. In terms of commodities, oil was back up to over $70 a barrel. Natural gas was up to $3.02. Gold fell back to $11.99 per ounce. Silver was up to $14.33. Copper jumped all the way up to 62.03, so a much better week for commodities. Just remember, these are indices. They cannot be invested into directly, and actual results may vary. And please remember, past performance is not indicative of future results. Just because something did well last week doesn't mean it's going to do the same this next week. All right, let's talk about the data. Last week, we were waiting for the PMI composite flash. This showed a bit of a slowing for the service sector, which still came in at a solid 52.9. Granted, that was below forecast. But manufacturing had a very strong showing at 55.6, which was above forecast. And there were a lot of positives, even with the service sector, including new orders, backlog orders, and hiring. But a lot was overshadowed by a rise in input and labor costs, which, of course, we can attribute to all this trade war stuff. We had the Chicago Fed National Activity Index. This came in at a solid 0.18, a little bit below the 0.20 we were predicting, but matching the previous month's upward revision, which was also at 0.18. And it was a mixed report. Production was up, new orders were up, but employment and personal consumption were down a bit. But the three-month average at 0.24 looks much, much better than July's 0.02. So moving in the right direction. We had the Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey. This was a solid, coming in at 23.3 for the production index and 28.1 for the general activity index. This was a little bit lower than the previous month, but still very strong with the added benefit of potentially easing capacity stress. Redbook shows the consumer is still strong. Same-store sales were up 5.8% after last week's 5.4. These have been really strong these last few months and suggest the consumer is buying at a pace that we have not seen in over a decade, which is a good thing. Then we had our housing data, the home price index, Case-Shiller home price index. It was essentially flat, going only up 0.1%. The year-on-year rate's at 5.9. Even the strongest regions, those being Seattle and Portland, showed only modest increases at 0.2 and 0.3%. Then the FHFA home price index didn't fare much better, with prices increasing by 0.2%. The year-on-year rate there is at 6.4. So I think it's safe to say that housing is not a big contributor to the economy right now after a run of a few great years. And in fact, it might be a bit of a drag on the overall economy. And that was corroborated by the new home sales. August numbers, they came in right on target at 629,000, but it was offset by a big downward revision of the two prior months. So that's consistent with what we're seeing there. And then, of course, the pending home sales, putting an exclamation point on the housing sector. Pending home sales were down by 1.8%, well below forecast, where we were just hoping for flat. And the West was actually showing the steepest drop at 11.3%. So pay attention to that. Consumer confidence report. If you already own a home, you're feeling confident, with the Consumer Confidence Index coming in at a whopping 138.4, almost 7 points higher than forecast. So that's strong. The Richmond Fed Index seems to be accelerating again, coming in at 29.5, better than the previous month. Kansas City Fed Manufacturing Index was also positive, coming in at 13. Production's been steady, but shipments slowed sharply there, reflecting some delivery days. Petroleum status report, a mixed bag again. We did see inventories rise for crude and gasoline, but distillates did shed a couple million barrels. And then, of course, we had the Fed meeting this week, and what was a unanimous vote? The Fed elected to raise rates another 0.25% to 2.25%, and what really should not be a surprise to anyone. Durable goods was sort of a mixed report this week. GDP, our third reading of GDP came in at 4.2, same as the previous reading. That's positive. Our trade deficit got bigger. Jobless claims actually moved up a little bit, but the four-week averages are low. Corporate profits were solid, showing 6.4% growth from a year ago. Retail and wholesale inventories were very strong. Those should be a positive for third quarter GDP. At this point, all we're waiting for is personal income and outlays, as well as the Chicago PMI report. But overall, solid data, and the market did well this week. Now, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined again by local attorney William Wardlow. He's an attorney who specializes in business law and consumer protection. And today, we're going to focus on the consumer protection piece. So please stay with us. Welcome back. I am Greg Pollack with G. Pollack Financial. You're listening to Plan Well, Enjoy Life, a 30-minute program designed to bring some rational thought to an increasingly irrational economic landscape. Today, we're being joined by local attorney William Wardlow, who specializes in intellectual property as well as consumer protection, among some other areas. Just a bit about William. He's a member of both the California and Oregon State Bar Associations. He's been an attorney for about 20 years. In that time, he successfully prosecuted unfair business practice claims against numerous corporations. He also worked with at a top Hollywood law firm, representing some major clients, including record labels, publishing companies, and some big artists, who I won't name here, but you can go to his website and check it out. You'll recognize some of these names. His website's at wardlowlaw.com. We'll reiterate that again before the end of the show. William moved to Bend in 2005, where he opened his own practice. He lives here in Central Oregon with his wife and two kids. Just a reminder, please don't use this show for legal or tax purposes. Make sure you consult with your legal or tax advisor before making any decisions. But William, thank you for joining us. We've spent so far talking about the concept of intellectual property, ways to protect it, why it's important, from trademarks to copyright to trade secrets. I'd like to switch gears a little bit. I understand you have a lot of expertise also in the area of consumer protection. Can you explain what you mean specifically by that?
Yeah, well, consumer protection, I went to law school and I did it to get into music law. And I worked in music law, and you know, writing contracts for these artists wasn't the same as being creative. True. And so I felt I need to do something. If I'm going to be an attorney, I'm going to do something useful for society. And consumer law,
that's a novel concept.
Unfortunately,
my attorney friends,
I don't know
that.
If it's novel, but it's a little, it's not as, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like predictable or cookie cutter?
I don't know. There's just, most people, you know, grab the brass ring after they go to law school. Right. And, you know, I've always felt this kind of desire to do something useful and not just be a leech. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm one of those people that gets infuriated by phone calls during dinner and that sort of thing. And that's how I got started, enforcing the Telephone Consumer Protection Act and junk faxes when we opened our law practice San Diego. And so I successfully prosecuted some of those. And then I started going after the BS timeshare companies that would give you phony gifts and those sorts of things.
Right.
And then I started looking a little closer at like my bill from Sprint, back when I had Sprint, and Pacific Gas and Electric, and Hyundai, when I tried to get a rebate from mm-hmm. Fry's on a monitor, and things like that. So, you know, the things that bothered me personally, I suddenly realized as an attorney, I can actually not only make it right for myself, but make companies like Hyundai give back hundreds of thousands of dollars in rebates that they had no intention of giving back, and things like that.
Well done.
So it's like, you know, it's the best of both worlds for me, because I get to, you know, address my pet peeves and do something useful in the process. So, anyway, what was the initial question?
Well, no, we were just talking. I love it. Yeah. This is fun. All right. So obviously the area of consumer protection, obviously, look, in any transaction, Clearly, most often than not, the company is in the position of power. The consumer is the lesser party. Oftentimes, we see the rights of the lesser party eroded. That's where these things are protection for. I understand that Oregon has some very strong consumer protection laws compared to some other states from a national standpoint.
Yeah, well, there's two things you brought up there. And the first most important one, I think, is that in 2011, there was a Supreme Court case called AT&T versus Concepcion. And in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld what are called in the legal world adhesive agreements, meaning you have no choice but to take this agreement. You see them all the time in cell phone agreements, mm-hmm. internet agreements. And in that adhesive agreement, there is something called an arbitration clause. Well, that arbitration clause says you don't have a right to go to court. You have to go to arbitration, which is a private little thing. Oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to enforce anything except your individual claim. So if, say, CenturyLink, who I'm litigating against right now, decides to lie to you about whether or not they're going to connect service, they try and say, no, you can only go into arbitration and you can only enforce your single claim. So all of a sudden, the attorney fees and the time that is required to enforce something that's worth maybe a few hundred dollars, and in some cases even less than that, but worth millions to the companies that are doing this to, you know, tens of thousands of people day after day. You know, there's this complete imbalance there that the court just completely pushed aside. I mean, the five conservative justices pushed aside. The four liberal justices, of course, voted the other way on it. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that changing anytime soon, unfortunately.
Probably not.
So the problem with consumer law is that in essential services like cell phones, internet service, things like that, there's not a lot that can be done at this point in time unless some laws change, and they really do need to change. That said, there's good news in Oregon if you have a smaller contract issue between a smaller company and yourself. If you have a contract dispute, other than insurance, of course, there's an mm-hmm. exception for that. You can send a written demand to the other party and let them know you're going to sue and seek attorney fees. Then if they don't comply within 30 days, you can hire an attorney and get those attorney fees paid when you win. And this isn't just maybe get the attorney fees paid. This is a mandatory clause in this. And that's true of small contracts. And it's also true of small, what are called tort claims and personal injury claims. Tort mm-hmm. meaning you're injured in some way that's not monetary. So correct. In both those cases, the attorney fees are mandatory in Oregon, which is not the case in places like California. So, and Oregon prohibits a number of, a wide range of unlawful business practices. You know, obviously things like false advertising, mm-hmm. But there's other things like gift cards, for example, is one that I run into a lot because people don't understand that it's illegal in Oregon to sell a gift card that expires or that imposes any sort of fee. And on top of that, if you use that gift card and you have like $3 left on it after you've made a purchase, if it's less than $5, you can take it into the company and say, I want to just redeem the rest of this for cash. And if they don't do it, well, you got an unlawful business practice claim, and please give me a call if that happens to you, because I'd be happy to enforce that on behalf of you and everybody else. You'd be doing society a favor by pursuing those sorts of claims.
Obviously, on some level, are the economics, because if you have one person who's owed $3, good luck with the legal fees. But if you can find 10,000 people where that happens,
No. The idea is that I'll do it just to get my attorney fees paid.
Oh, right, that's right, because it's part of the statutory mandate.
Well, in this case, it's not mandatory, but I'm willing to roll the dice because I think it's important enough to, you know, to hold companies accountable that cheat these little amounts on large scales. And they make millions and millions of dollars doing this sort of thing. And there's hardly anybody. I've literally had another case that I can't really talk about, but I was talking to the U.S. attorneys and they were thanking me. You know, they're so happy that there's an attorney out there doing this. And I honestly wish more attorneys would pursue things like consumer law, because I think it's a really important and it's a really viable way to have a successful practice. But very few. I think I'm the only dedicated consumer attorney in Bend. I found that there were a couple others in Portland.
So, sure.
You know, I think it's an important area of law that's often overlooked. And, you know, there's a lot of room for doing a lot of good and making a decent living. I mean, you're not going to make millions, but you can get your time paid.
Okay, William, this is good stuff. Listen, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with local attorney William Wardlow, and we are talking today about consumer protection, so please stay with us. All right, welcome back. I am Greg Pollack with G Pollack Financial. You're listening to Plan Well, Enjoy Life, a 30-minute program designed to bring some rational thought to an increasingly irrational economic landscape. Today, we're being joined again by local attorney William Wardlow. He specializes in intellectual property as well as consumer protection. Today, we are focused on consumer protection. Okay, William. You got all these companies out there, and I see these adhesive agreements. Anytime you update the software, anytime you have a new update.
Don't get me
there's
started.
There's a funny animated show out there, I won't mention the show, that did a whole thing about this with when they did an update and these poor people were, you know, had signed away all sorts of rights and things like that that are absurd, but never know what's in there. Who has time to read all of those things?
Well, and I've read them, but you don't have a choice. Like, I bought Microsoft Windows, and the first screen that pops up now is this arbitration stuff, because as soon as AT&T versus Concepcion got affirmed by the Supreme Court, then the lid came off. And now you can't buy any of those, any big company. They literally, I read the defense bar journals, which I should explain, the people that defend these companies, the enemies of consumers and the enemies of, you know, the rights of consumers, people who I hold in the lowest esteem, they actually say that it is malpractice not to advise your clients to put in these adhesive arbitration provisions.
Interesting.
So they literally, they don't have a choice anymore, because they're going to get sued for malpractice if their big company gets sued and loses. Oh, you didn't tell us to put that in our agreement. Well,
gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, but you know, you don't have to work for those kind of companies. You can make a choice. I've turned away more clients than I've taken, because if I don't believe somebody's right, I'm not taking them as a client. I only pursue claims that I think are valid, and if somebody has a horrible claim or if I think they're trying to abuse the system just to muscle somebody, I'll tell them right away. I'll tell them to hit the brick. So don't call me if you're the type of person that wants to use the law as a weapon, because that's not what it's there for. It's to enforce legitimate claims against people that have been actually wronged.
Exactly. Well said. And unfortunately, it's too often used in the opposite regard.
It's more often than not abused.
It really is. So I have a question for you on this. All right. There's an old adage that's been a part of, you know, legalese in society in a long time, the concept of buyer beware. Where is the line where really it's up to you to make sure that you're okay and it's not really a consumer protection issue versus where it is a consumer protection issue? And
well, I don't know if there's a bright line, but what can be said is that when somebody is intentionally misleading you, when somebody's lying to you, making what are called deliberate and calculated misrepresentations with respect to advertising and those sorts of things, like bait and switch,
right?
You know, those sorts of things.
Sorry.
You know, it really comes down to what would a reasonable person do, and a reasonable person, more often than not, ends up being the judge deciding it, but sometimes it comes down to a jury and they'll decide, well, how would I have acted in that situation? But you know, you can't be willfully blind to something, but at the same time, you don't have to, you know, completely take apart your car to inspect it before you buy it to know whether or not, you know, every
single thing works. Take it on a test drive.
You should take it on a test drive. And,
in the case of used cars, a lot of people will take it to a mechanic to have someone take a look at it as well.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. But if somebody lies to you and intentionally misrepresents something to you before you make that purchase, like, oh, we just had this checked out by a mechanic yesterday, and then you rely on that misrepresentation, well, that's a form of fraud and that's actionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's no bright line, but you know, you can't be willfully ignorant of what you're getting into.
Correct.
And expect legal protection.
Correct. Okay, because the legal protection in and of itself is never guaranteed anyway.
It's never guaranteed.
And often, especially when you start getting into juries and whatnot, it's often
notoriously
a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And so this obviously covers, you know, false advertising as well. I have to wonder, where you did work in Hollywood, did the studio that make The Neverending Story ever get sued for the fact that there was an end to the story? That seems to be one of the greatest cases of false advertising.
I can't say that I've ever seen that film.
I'd be curious. Well, there may be a, you know, maybe there's a class. I don't know if it's beyond statute of limitations.
There are pretty strict statute of limitations. I think it's a year in Oregon, but I'd have to look back.
All right, listen, William, this is This is great stuff. This is stuff that I think a lot of people need to be aware of. I really appreciate you coming in and talking about these things. I would love to get you back sometime and maybe dive a little bit deeper into some of these things if you're open to it, and obviously depending on your schedule. Now, just remember, having William on the show, it's not meant to be an endorsement of William or any particular attorney, but
join
if you would like more information about
William,
you can reach him at
541-903-2311.
Or as we mentioned earlier, you can go to his website at www.wardlow, that's W-A-R-D-L-O-W-L-A-W, wardlowlaw.com. And I'm sorry we did not get to a question today. We don't have a lot of time, but remember you can send in questions by emailing us at planwell@gpollockfinancial.com, or you can call us at 541-480-1661. And if you missed part of this or past episodes, you can go to my website at gpollockfinancial.com and click on the tab called Radio Show. As always, I want to thank the folks at Horizon Broadcasting Group for making the show possible. Thanks so much to those who listen in. It is most appreciated. This is Greg Pollock with G Pollock Financial, reminding you all to
plan well, enjoy life.
Plan well, enjoy life is a presentation of G Pollock Financial. Call Greg at 541-323-1008 and tune in next Sunday for another edition of Plan Well, Enjoy Life.